Have you ever known a Renaissance man? A person with so many talents and so many areas of knowledge, someone who seems to be able to do anything and everything he wants to do. Well, I've met some pretty talented people in my time. Buddy Payne is a man like that. He played basketball at King High School and at Florida College. He got a master's degree from Harvard, a PhD degree in mathematics education from the University of South Florida, and he's an accomplished pianist. I can still remember when he and Margie Garrett performed George Gershwin's song, Rhapsody in Blue, in a chapel performance. He served Florida College for somewhere around 50 years as a professor, registrar, dean of students, vice president, and academic dean, and president, and he taught advanced math at FC. He preached for 2 years in Bucharest, Romania, and he's preached for several different churches in the Tampa area and served as an elder, and he has lectured on creation and evolution on college campuses and in other venues. Buddy Payne seems to be a Renaissance man. And Dr. Martin Kennedy, the dentist that my mother worked for about 48 years, was first in his class at the IU Dental School. I'm pretty sure that he taught himself to play a mandolin, and he had a successful dental practice for around 50 years. He learned to fly, and he built his own airplane from a kit. And he preached by appointment and led the singing. I think he may have served as an elder. Now, I have said all of that to remind you that David, King David, was a Renaissance man. A man with so many talents and abilities. We are told that he was handsome and that he was wise. That he was courageous and popular with the people. He was a shepherd taking care of his father's flock, and so he knew how to provide and guide and protect. And he was a musician. Oh, how I wish that I had more musical ability. I tried to learn how to play the guitar, and it just didn't happen. And he was a soldier. And not just any ordinary soldier. He was so talented that King Saul made him the commander over his military force. And even as a fugitive fleeing from Saul, he became a leader of about 600 men. And he was a lyricist and or a composer. 74 psalms are attributed to David. But he was also a luthier. He made musical instruments. I've watched some YouTube videos of men making guitars, and I'm just kind of fascinated by that. He was an architect. He's the one who provided the blueprints for the temple that his son Solomon would build, no doubt guided by the Holy Spirit. And he was an organizer, gathering together the materials that his son would use in building the temple. And he procured those materials. David was a Renaissance man with so many abilities and talents. A couple of verses talk about David's abilities. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18, when Saul was having one of his depressed moods, a servant said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing and a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. At least two times in Scripture, David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. When Samuel told King Saul that because of his sins, his kingdom would not continue, the writer tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, Samuel is speaking to Saul, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. King Saul was the people's choice. He was handsome and he was taller than anybody else in Israel. King Saul looked like they thought a king ought to look like. And yet we've just studied about the life of Saul and we know what a failure he was. The people chose Saul because of his physical qualities, but God chose David because of what was inside David, because David was a man after God's own heart. God chose David because of his spiritual qualities, because of his character. But to say that David was a man after God's own heart is not to say that David was a perfect man. In fact, David was far from perfect. In my notes, I have a list of somewhere around 30 failures and or sins, at least as I count them, in the life of David. Let me just mention a few of these. The Inspired Record tells us that David lied on multiple occasions. And he ate the showbread that he had no right to eat. And he moved the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart in direct violation of God's instructions. And of course, we all remember that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he tried to cover up his sin in various ways. And that ultimately led to his murder of Uriah. And the book of 2 Samuel ends in 2 Samuel 24 by telling us about David numbering the people of God. To say that David was a man after God's own heart is not to say that his life was free of care and sorrow. Because of his sins, David had to live with the consequences that followed his adultery with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet told him that the sword would never depart from his house, that God would raise up adversity from his own household against David, and that his wives would be taken before his eyes, and a neighbor would lie with them in the sight of all Israel. And Nathan told David that the child conceived by that adultery would die. And of course, all of those things came to pass. The child did die. Despite David's fervent prayers on the child's behalf for a week, his son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar, and Absalom murdered Amnon in revenge. And then Absalom tried to usurp David's throne. And Absalom defiled his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And you've just studied recently that his son Adonijah tried to usurp David's throne, a throne intended for Solomon. David's life was not a bed of roses. In Psalm 55, in verse 4 and following, David said, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Have you ever felt like David felt? You just like to fly away and be done with the trials and tribulations and the problems that you're facing in your life. As a man after God's own heart, David was not a perfect man. In fact, he was far from it. And his life was not an easy life. But why are we told that David was a man after God's own heart? Well, I think there are several things that we could talk about. I want to mention six. May I suggest to you, first of all, that David was a man after God's own heart because of his faith and trust in God. And that faith and trust is perhaps best illustrated in the story that we are also familiar with, the story of David and Goliath, recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know that Goliath was a giant, somewhere around 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was a trained soldier. And he came out and he taunted Israel for 40 days, challenging them to send out their own champion to fight Goliath. And King Saul and his soldiers were quaking in their sandals. And one day David showed up in camp and he heard Goliath's taunt. And basically, to make a longer story somewhat shorter, he said, I'll go out there and fight Goliath. He was brought before King Saul. Now, I want you to notice what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36 and 37, he is speaking to Saul, and he says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." And then David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And we all know the rest of the story. Brothers and sisters, we need that kind of faith in our own lives. We need that kind of trust when we must go out and fight our giants. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Obviously, David believed in the existence of God, and David also believed that God would reward him for his faithfulness. We need the kind of faith that David had. When the odds seem overwhelming, when the task ahead seems so huge and monumental, when things just don't seem to make sense to us anymore, we need the kind of faith that David had when those who seem to be better qualified will not pick up the sword and fight. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Despite his failures and his sins, David was a man who walked by faith. And then in the second place, I would suggest to you that David was a man after God's own heart because of his forbearing spirit. If you were in our Wednesday night Bible class as we talked about the life of David, you know that King Saul repeatedly tried to take David's life because of his jealousy. At least two different times, Saul tried to kill David with his own spear. And when David expressed an interest in marrying Saul's daughter, Michal, Saul asked, as a dowry, 100 foreskins of the Philistines, thinking that the Philistines would get rid of his nemesis. Of course, it didn't work out that way. And perhaps you remember on one occasion, Saul sent his servants to watch the house where David slept and then kill him. And Michal helped David escape. And King Saul pursued David all over the southern part of Palestine for several years. And yet, despite Saul's hatred and animosity, David manifested a forbearing spirit. You'll remember, no doubt, that David had the opportunity to kill King Saul when Saul went into a cave to take care of his needs at En-Gedi. And then later, once again, David could have taken the life of King Saul at Ziph, and he refused to do that, and he refused to let somebody else take care of King Saul. And no doubt you recall that when David received word that Saul had died in battle against the Philistines at Mount Gilboa, David mourned for Saul, writing the lament that was entitled "The Song of the Bow." And David manifested this forbearing spirit even when King Saul refused to stop pursuing him. Brothers and sisters, we need to be forbearing with other people like David was. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, "Let your gentleness," that's the rendering in the New King James Version, "let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand." Other translations, like the American Standard Version, use the word forbearance. Some read gentle spirit, graciousness, moderation, considerate spirit, reasonableness. We need to be a forbearing people. And sometimes we just need to overlook some things. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 21 and 22, "Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." Solomon is saying that sometimes we just need to overlook some things. He's not saying that we should wink or ignore sin. That's not what he means. But there are times when we do need to overlook the mistakes and foibles of other people. Sometimes we need to be willing to accept mistreatment. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do when we live in a society that trumpets the call, stand up for your rights. Don't let people walk all over you. But listen to what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 6, "But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren." Like David, as the people of God, we must not seek revenge when other people mistreat us and abuse us and sin against us. Listen to what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." A third reason that I believe Scripture describes David as a man after God's own heart is because of his willingness to repent. And we're familiar with the story of Nathan the prophet going to David and telling him that parable about a rich neighbor who stole a favorite ewe lamb from his neighbor and killed it and used it to feed his guests. And we remember David's incensed response. And we remember that the prophet said to David, "You are the man." And David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." He didn't make excuses. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't say, "Well, she shouldn't have been out there on the rooftop bathing." He didn't procrastinate. David said, "I have sinned." And folks, that's what we need to do when we have sinned and we are convicted of that. We need to have the same willingness to repent that David had. Now, I must say, to be fair, David waited a long time. David didn't immediately repent and confess. And as I already mentioned, he tried to cover up his sins. And so that's not an admirable aspect of David's life. But finally, thank God, David did repent. But how many of us are like Felix, who heard Paul preach about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come? And Luke said Felix was afraid, but he sent Paul away with these words, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." How many of us react like Felix reacted when we are confronted with our sins? How many of us react the way King Agrippa reacted when he said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian"? In the 32nd Psalm, a psalm that David probably wrote after his sin with Bathsheba, and after he had lived with a guilty conscience for at least 9 months, he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." David was also a man after God's own heart because of his obedience to God. Now, it certainly wasn't perfect obedience. We've already talked about David's sins. But David was obedient to God even when God's will ran counter to his own. I'm thinking about David's desire to build the temple, 2 Samuel 7. He thought it was a great idea. He talked to Nathan the prophet about it. Nathan thought it was a great idea, said, "Go ahead." And the Lord appeared to Nathan in a dream that night, basically saying, "When have I ever said anything about this? David will not build the temple. His son will build the temple." David wanted desperately to build a house for the Lord, but God said no. And I am impressed by the fact that David did not rebel against the will of God. He did not pout. Instead, he accepted God's will, and he began to do what he could do to make preparations for building the temple. I have recently said, when we can't do what we want to do, we need to do what we can do in our service to the Lord. And David was a man like that. And yet, how many times, if we can't do what we want to do, what we think is best, do we react like the little boy who says, "Well, I'll just take my marbles and go home"? Listen to me carefully. The real test of obedience comes when God wants us to go one way and we want to go another. Will we do what God wants us to do? Or will we do what we want to do? David was a man after God's own heart because he had an all-consuming passion for the Word of God. In Psalm 17 and verse 4, a psalm written by David, he says, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer." In Psalm 18, verse 22, David writes, "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me." And in Psalm 19, three psalms back to back, David said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Do we have this kind of attitude toward God's word? Do we consider God's word our most valuable possession? Do we spend time in God's word like David obviously did? We need the same kind of attitude that David had toward the Word of God. Finally, and there's so much more that we could talk about, David was a man after God's own heart because of his devotion to prayer. In Psalm 55 and verse 17, David said, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." And David prayed when his heart was broken. Psalm 6 verse 6 says, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears." David prayed when he was in the depths of troubles, trials, and tribulations. Read the opening verses of Psalm 140 at your leisure. David prayed in times of joy. God was his refuge and strength. And God wants us to be devoted to prayer like David. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, after he enumerates the items in the Christian's suit of armor, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Prayer is the Christian's secret weapon. David, a man after God's own heart. It's time for me to ask you a question. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? I thank you.